going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday draft day edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Whatever your favorite holiday is, today is that feeling where you wake up, you get ready to go, and after the buildup, the speculation, are you going to get the gift that you want or not? Are you going to want to see the family members that are coming or not? You finally get some clarity. Because tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I will be on my couch. I will have my phone up. We'll have some reactions potentially leaking out there on social media as well, at Zach Gelb, as they happen. And I can't wait to see what transpires through the first 32 picks of the NFL draft for our Thursday coverage. We have a loaded show for you today. Former NFL general manager Thomas Dimitroff will be joining us in studio at 3:20 p.m. Eastern time. Then at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Andrew Perloff from the Maggie and Perloff Show will be joining us in studio as well. So Thomas Dimitroff in studio, 3:20 p.m. Eastern time, top of the hour, Andrew Perloff in studio right here on the Zach Gelb Show. So I think the two biggest stories for this NFL draft, and this shows you a little bit of the fun and then the stupidity of the NFL draft process. But we have sat here for the last 3 months, and we have basically gone all out February, March, April, NFL draft, NFL draft, NFL draft. Some of my favorite radio that we do. But even I could admit, as you get into this final week, and really as you got into these last 24 hours, it was like, oh my goodness gracious. Just let this draft conversation, enough with the speculation, have it be done with. And let's get some answers. And tonight we get those answers. But the two biggest things that I have on my mind going into this draft tonight, number one, when you take a glance at Shedeur Sanders, where is he going to go? I think Shedeur Sanders, for a guy who probably in all likelihood is not going in the top 10, is probably not going in the first 15 picks of the draft, he is easily, and he's not even attending the draft, the biggest story of the draft tonight and where he's going to go. And outside of Shedeur, I actually think right now it's a big story, but I don't think the storyline has really impacted his draft stock, and I don't anticipate people believing right now that he's going to fall. But the arm length stuff with Will Campbell, because we had on Joe Thomas yesterday, legendary offensive lineman, one of the greatest offensive linemen of all time, Hall of Fame offensive lineman, and they said back in 2007 that he had short arms. And Joe went off on it, and people online and social media, right, they've reacted to it. And I'm just curious. I know it's not a sexy position. I find the offensive line to be a sexy position. Nationally, though, I understand many of you listening are like, Zach, stop at the offensive lineman. But I think most people anticipate Will Campbell going forward to the Patriots. But then you hear about Kelvin Banks. Then you also hear about Armin Membu as well. Could there be a surprise with the offensive lineman? And all this talk, which we've had fun with alligator arms in Will Campbell, can that actually impact his draft stock? Right now, if you put a gun to my head with all the talk that we've had about this, Zach, is the short arm conversation going to impact his draft stock? I don't think so, because he's going 4 overall, is what I truly believe to the New England Patriots. Like, is there a chance that maybe the Patriots are the first team to actually go through on a trade? If someone maybe wants to jump now the Jaguars for Ashton Jeanty, I guess that's a possibility. Or maybe even the Raiders. If somebody, it could be the Bears too. You know, if someone maybe wants to drop someone in that and jump someone in that 5, 6, 7 range, so a Tyler Warren, maybe it's to go make sure that they go get their offense alignment. Is there a possibility that the Patriots trade back a few spots and still get Will Campbell? Yes, I guess it's possible, but I would be shocked if Will Campbell isn't going to the New England Patriots. So those to me have been the two biggest storylines with this NFL draft. Will Campbell and his arm length, which I'm so sick and tired of talking about this. And then also Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur's the fascinating one. And it's wild because these takes, what I've realized in the NFL draft, they don't change month to month. They don't even necessarily change week to week. I think they change day to day. Where we started with Shedeur Sanders was, okay, who's the number one quarterback in this draft class? Is it Cam Ward or is it Shedeur Sanders? Since then, it has turned into, okay, Cam Ward is the number one quarterback. Cam Ward is the number one pick, and he'll be going number one tonight to the Tennessee Titans. Then the conversation has become, and this is where it really trickled on down to would you go with Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or Shedeur Sanders? Now, I have sat here until I'm literally blue in the face, and I've said this 5,366 times probably, that if I was Andrew Berry at 2, I would draft Shedeur Sanders. And once he passes on Shedeur Sanders, which I don't think he is going to take him, then if I'm Joe Shane, I would take Shedeur Sanders as well at 3. I have already waved the white flag 2 weeks ago, and I've all told you that I anticipate Travis Hunter going 2 to the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur Sanders not going 3 to the Giants, but Abdul Carter going 3 to the Giants. Then when it comes to Shedeur, this is where it gets fascinating. Because if I was the Raiders at 6, and if Jeanty's off the board, even if Jeanty is there, and I think Jeanty is the 4th best player in this draft, I would take Shedeur Sanders. The Saints at 9, I would take Shedeur Sanders. But I have come to the reality of the situation that Shedeur, whether you believe it or not, this is what I believe, he's not going 2, he's not going 3, he's not going 6, and he's not going 9. I don't think he's going to Cleveland with their first selection, the Giants with their first selection, the Saints at 9, or even before that, the Raiders a little bit before that earlier at 6. So me looking at Shedeur right now, not going in the top 10 picks, where is he going to go? And I'll tell you tonight, folks, and Joe Thomas even said it yesterday. He took it to the being the equivalence of a Super Bowl. I wouldn't go there, but I get the point that he was trying to make. If I am Andrew Berry, if I am Joe Shane, and I'm trying to save my job, imagine the way that you would be talked about in a positive way if, and this is a major if, you could get Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders, or Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. And where Shedeur is going to go tonight is the biggest storyline for a multitude of reasons. Number one, Cam Ward has been proven right now in all these mock drafts to be perceived as the better quarterback over Shedeur Sanders. Then after that, Shedeur has gone from potentially going 2 to the Browns to now falling out of the top 10. And I think most of us anticipate the farthest he's going to fall is to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21. And think about the dominoes that fall if the Steelers do take Shedeur Sanders at 21. Because then it's, oh, well, what does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? But also, I'm assuming something. And you know what happens when you assume? You sometimes make an ass out of you and me. I'm assuming Shedeur Sanders is going to be the second quarterback in this draft. I think he'll be the second quarterback taken. But could someone fall in love with the Jalen Milroe? Could someone fall in love with Jackson Dart? So I do think that there's a cutoff on how far, in my mind, realistically, Shedeur will fall. And that's to 21. And could there be a team that jumps back in from the second round into the first or is picking later in the second and wants to jump the Steelers? And you look at the 18, 19, 20 range to get Shedeur? Absolutely. That's a possibility. And that's where I'm anticipating Shedeur to go tonight. Anywhere between 18 to 21 does not mean teams 18, 19, and 20 are going to take him, but it would be via trade. But that's what I'm thinking. But sometimes I think things and they end up being wrong. And could you imagine if this storyline plays out like this, where we had about 2 months ago, even a month ago, legitimate talk about the decision that had to be made on should the Browns take Shedeur at 2? At a time, should Tennessee actually take Shedeur at 1? Right? Some people think the coach there, Callahan, is a better fit with Shedeur Sanders than Cam Ward. Emory Hunt was the first person that said that to us. And it's been repeated by some other folks too. So we're talking about a guy that was talked about at once, one or two, mainly two, and then if not two, oh, definitely three, to now falling past 6, falling past 9, and if the Steelers end up liking a quarterback other than Shedeur, or they don't want to take a quarterback, and that's a smokescreen, and they still want to go with Aaron Rodgers, could you imagine the world we go through the first 32 picks tonight and Shedeur Sanders doesn't get taken? It would be crazy. So as I woke up today, I really said to myself, what's the biggest storyline of the draft? And I've thought to myself, well, what's the thing you've been talking about the most in the last 3 weeks? And really, actually not 3 weeks, 3 months. And it's been Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders. And the reason why the Shedeur Sanders story is so fascinating is because no one could tell you with 100% certainty where Shedeur Sanders is going right now. Like, my best guess, my best educated guess right now, right, my hypothesis, as they would used to say when you were growing up as a kid, my hypothesis is Shedeur Sanders is going to go at 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But can I tell you I'm going to place a significant wager on that? No, I can't. Nothing would surprise me tonight with Shedeur Sanders. Nothing. And that's why it is such a big story, because the name is massive. The player, whether it's intentional or not, and I think it's more unintentional, is polarizing. And also, we don't have a damn clue where he's going to go. And most of us think he's going to drop out of 10, and then the farthest he could go is 21. But sometimes, even when you place that range, the range could get exceeded, and maybe he falls even further than that. But it's a wild conversation to me, because not that long ago, we were talking about this guy being the second pick of the draft. And now I can't even sit here and tell you he'll go in the top 10. So that's, to me, the biggest storyline tonight. Stu, outside of Shedeur Sanders, what's your biggest storyline with the draft tonight? What really stands out to you and you're intrigued about?
To me, it's where Ashton Jeanty ultimately lands, what team drafts him. Obviously, when we first started talking about the draft, we thought he'd go in the 20s, and then that creeped up into the teens. And then, you know, around 10 or 12 to the Cowboys or Bears. And then forever, it seemed like he was mocked to the Raiders at 6. Now it seems like he's going to go top 5 to the Jaguars, or maybe someone trades up to get him. To me, wherever he lands, I think is very intriguing, because he might be the guy who wins Offensive Rookie of the Year next year.
Yeah, and I've said this before, going back to September, he's a mixture of Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, and Marshawn Lynch. And quite frankly, if I could give you a selfish wish, if Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are off the board 2 and 3, which I anticipate them being for my Patriots, I hope the Patriots take him at 4. I would love that. And I know my team has a lot of holes, but that's how much I love the player that is Ashton Jeanty. I think it's fascinating because, like most of us, like you feel right now, Stu, 1's Cam Ward, 2 is Travis Hunter, 3's Abdul Carter, 4 is Will Campbell probably?
I would say so, yes.
And look at the Jaguars at 5. Most of us thought it's Mason Graham. Now most of us think it's Ashton Jeanty. To see what the Jaguars is going to do is going to be an interesting one. And then could you imagine after everyone thinking he's going to the Raiders, everyone thinking he's going to the Jaguars, if picks 5 and 6 come and Jeanty doesn't go? Because that's, like, we all talked about the Cowboys originally at 12. And then I was like, the Bears, they should go get him. And then it catapulted all the way up till 6, where it was like, definitely, it's going to be the Raiders. And now it's moving all the way up to 5 to the Jaguars. Santer, what is your biggest draft storyline tonight with Genty off the board and then also Shedeur Sanders off the board?
So
I have a list.
Yeah, no, I have one. You guys took my top three, so I had another one. This is the first time since the common draft era began that there hasn't been a single first-round trade of any pick.
Oh, before the draft.
Before the draft. Mm. So every year there's something shocking that happens at the draft, right? Whether it's Michael Penix last year or the Panthers moving up to number one or the Texans taking Stroud 2 and then trading back up to 3 to take Will Anderson. Every year there's a shock. You know, there's something crazy that happens that we don't expect. The Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell, number 4.
Don't do this to Stu. Don't go through the Raiders draft picks right now.
I can't. Not today. Not today, please.
This is hope. This is optimism. This is a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life.
This is usually the worst day of the year for me, to be fair.
Yeah, well, we're trying to make Stu great again, all right? That's what we're trying to do.
Massa?
Just let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. I gave you Buble and I gave you the Beatles. Just let it be right here, all right?
But yeah, so for me, it's like, what's the shocking thing that's going to happen? So far, it's been boring. So far, it's been no trades. Nothing crazy's happened. There's going to be something crazy happen. There's going to be a guy like yesterday when Fitzy took Genty 4 for the Patriots in our mock draft. There's going to be something that we're just not expecting. The Patriots or the Jaguars, someone's going to do something that's going to blow our minds in the top 10, top 15, and it's going to be what we're going to talk about. We don't know what it is yet, but it's going to happen because it always does.
Well, that's what I like the most about this draft is because so many people, they want the answers to everything. I like not having the answers to the tests right now. This is fun. And that's because we have a lot of intrigue and speculation with this draft. All righty, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Former NFL general manager Thomas Dimitroff joins us next in studio. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances,
MIDI can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, the NFL draft day is here. Let's welcome in a man who was an NFL general manager for a long time with the Atlanta Falcons, and that, of course, is Thomas Dimitroff, now with Sumer Sports, which is a great analytical website. We'll get into all that in just a bit, and he's kind enough to join us right now in studio. Happy draft day, Thomas. How you been?
It's great when you don't have to pick the picks all the time. You can just watch them fly by.
So I have a few questions for you, just because we like talk about so much leading up to the draft, okay. And I never know with what we're talking about if it's actually true or not. So I'll start you off with Joe Shane, who I happen to like. Had a rough year this past year, obviously, with the Saquon Barkley stuff, the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and all of that. You know, he's clearly on the hot seat to me, him and Brian Daboll, and they're picking at 3, and I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Cam Ward's going 1. We think Travis Hunter's going 2, and then they're probably going to go Abdul Carter in with the 3rd overall selection. I've been sitting here, you know, just talking about it, and I go, if I was him, if I draft Abdul Carter, who ironically I think is the best player in the draft, I don't know if that saves my job, because if you have 6 or 7 wins and you have a great pass rusher, I think they're still going to fire at the end of the year. If I draft a quarterback and he just plays well at the end of the year, the wins and losses are kind of irrelevant to me because it gives some hope to the fan base. So does that at all weigh on your mind when you're drafting, and if maybe you kind of see some of the signs, oh, this could be the end of the road, maybe you end up taking the quarterback and you reach on a QB?
It's a great point. Abdul Carter is top-notch, no question, pillar guy, 100%. On the quarterback side, though, however, you're exactly right. I mean, we are all gauged by our quarterback acquisitions, how adept we are about bringing them in, drafting them, or keeping them and re-signing them. I've always said that as a GM especially, and I'm speaking about Joe Shane, not necessarily Brian Daboll. I mean, you are judged by your quarterback prowess, picking prowess, right? And how you're going to do that. This organization, of course, needs a quarterback that's going to carry him in, you know, to the next waves. Now, I know they did something in free agency, right? Or did they? No, they did not yet.
They got Russell Wilson.
They got Russell Wilson,
and
yes,
Jameis Winston.
And Jameis Winston, yes.
But none of those, I'm being honest, none of them excite me if I'm a Giant fan.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, it's funny because they're not exciting, but when you bring in a guy like Shedeur Sanders, is he exciting? I mean, I'm sure you're probably going in that direction. When you talk about Shedeur, he's got a lot to offer, but he also has a lot to offer, right? You better be the right organization that's ready to bring that on. Shedeur and Co., I call it, right? I mean, there's a lot to it. It's going to be really interesting. You better make the right move in today's quarterback moves. And this draft class, obviously, it's not great. I don't even know who the 3rd is yet. You're going to ask me that. I still don't know where we're going with that.
Yeah, the way that I ranked them, and I had Cam Ward at 1, Shedeur Sanders at 2, and then I have anytime someone is texting me, friends or, you know, people in the media, I then put about 7 or 8 spaces and drop all the way down. I put Jalen Milroe 3. This is a little, not a popular opinion. Dylan Gabriel 4, and then Jackson Dart 5. I look at Milroe. He has, to me, a tremendous amount of upside. Like, he has a high ceiling. I hate that, though, because whenever I hear someone go, oh, he has a high ceiling, I got to see it more. And with him, it's either all or nothing, and there's no just average game for me out of Jalen Milroe, but I think that upside is what puts him at 3.
That idea of, you know, Shedeur Sanders or Abdul Carter and then moving back in to get one of that, whoever that 3rd quarterback is appealing to me right now, to know that you could sink someone like Abdul legitimately and come back in on a Milroe.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting thing because Milroe is legitimately talented. I was saying to the guys earlier, though, in the Southeast, there is such a divide on him when you're walking down the streets of Atlanta just because of all the Alabama people there. Some praise him and others are way against him for just different reasons, right? It's just the way it is.
Well, they loved him after the Georgia game. They hated him after the Oklahoma game.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But I start thinking about this. When you say Dylan Gabriel, by the way, You're not that far off. Like our group, our Sumer Sports group, and we have a lot of really talented football men that are evaluating. They're really bullish on him in a lot of ways. Where he goes, who knows? Does he go in the second? Does he go in the third or fourth? I don't know. But do you move up? I was going to ask you, do you truly move up into the back end of the first when you're pressed to truly land that quarterback?
Sometimes you don't want to be the guy on Friday that wins the draft, because I feel like those guys end up getting fired within a year or two. But I look at, if I'm Andrew Berry or if I am Joe Shane, the way I win the draft is what you're saying. You get Travis Hunter at 2 or Abdul Carter at 3, and then you're the one that moves back up in that 18, 19, 20 range to then go get Shedeur Sanders. And wouldn't that be something? I talked to Joe Thomas the other day, and he goes, well, we haven't had much success in Cleveland, but it would be like winning the Super Bowl if they could get Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders on the same team.
It would be unbelievable. And I start to think about that sometimes with Shedeur. Like, I know there was talk about it. I mean, how far does he truly potentially fall? And you know, where do you go, and how aggressive do you get when we start talking about quarterback taxes, right? If you're in that beginning of the second round, do you move up to 20, 19, 16? How far do you go? You're talking to someone that moved up a long, long way for Julio Jones. So I get it. When you want someone, you have to go after him. You can't sit on your hands in the National Football League, especially when you're hot.
So let's actually go back to that 2011 draft, because I was revisiting it, because I was looking at some of your better draft picks, right? Sure. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are the first two that come to mind. That draft, you had Cam go 1, Von Miller go 2, Marcel Darius, he didn't last long in the league, but had a few All-Pros, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, who just retired and should be in the Hall of Fame eventually, and then Julio Jones. Take me through that whole deal and how it did go down for you guys to get to Julio.
Yeah, look, we got up in the morning, and I had talked to Tom Heckert about it, you know, with Cleveland, and we were trying to make sure that we could secure something, and it was a done deal when we were going on the clock. I just think everyone in the world could not believe that we were moving down that many spots, because we were at 27, right? We basically moved down. And everyone always asks us, okay, Thomas, but A.J. Green was from Georgia. Were you really going to take, was he there by default, Julio Jones? And I said, ultimately, I love both of them. But Julio was just a little bit bigger, a little more stout, a little bit more along the lines of the system that we were looking at, right? And as far as having a guy that was going to be able to roughhouse in there a little bit. In no way am I saying that AJ was soft. I'm just saying Julio was that. We had Mike Mularkey there. We had some old school guys on our team that were putting together our system and our scheme that we thought was going to be ideal. And all those other guys that were going, it was interesting, because I did not think through the whole process 2 weeks out that we were really necessarily going to seal the deal. But I started talking about it, and I kept revisiting. And by the way, when you're trading something like that, you are always revisiting who you're talking to just to confirm and reassure yourself that you're not waking up in the morning on draft day and you've lost that trade, because it's a big deal when you've been planning on something that big.
And also, I think I've been wrong on this through the years. Like a few years ago when the Niners moved mountains to get to 3 and they sat there, they go, we don't know who we're picking yet. And then you kind of hear they were originally thinking Mac Jones, that ended up being Trey Lance. And even Sean Payton at the combine, he goes, this time last year, we didn't know we were going to take Bo Nix. So it's wild to me. You have an idea, but you don't get a lot of finality until ultimately that day. And it really goes down to the wire in some of these decision-making.
To the wire, man. We were sitting there, and when that came about, it was getting closer and closer, and I thought someone is potentially going to move up. And there was banter out there that some of the big coaches were going to come up and make a move, just because everyone thought so highly of those two receivers back-to-back, basically. I wasn't sure, because Patrick Peterson, did he go to, was it Arizona?
Arizona, yeah.
It was Arizona, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Keim took him at that spot. I don't know if I told you this story, but again, Arthur Blank and I were really like locked arm in arm watching it when we made the move, right? We got it. We make the move. We're watching the screens, right? And my buddy John Gruden starts showing drop after drop after drop of Julio Jones. And they never do that, right? They always show the positives. And I'm like, what is going on here? Arthur starts loosening my arm, yeah, and he drops my arm away from me. And I just look at him, though, and I quietly just say, first ballot Hall of Famer. I was justifying that, but I had some other expletives there about the way that they did it, showing all these drops. But trade time during a draft like that is high stress. There's a lot going on there, and you pray that you can check the box in the end.
It's funny. I'm laughing because it's kind of what I remember me and my buddies when we go to Vegas, and it's like we're playing roulette or blackjack, except this is that's the version for you in the NFL draft.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you're talking about it, you know, over the last 2 weeks prior to the draft, and you deliver to an owner normally. As a GM, you usually meet at the beginning of that week, and you start talking about all that's going down and scenarios that can play out. But when you get your head into that mode, you start living it. You believe that it's already done. It's a really, really interesting phenomenon. At least it was for me when I'm making big trades. And I was a trade up guy. Again, that my background wasn't trading back, so that was a little more common.
And also, when I revisit your draft history back in 2008, when it first started for you, you get Matt Ryan with the third overall pick. The other quarterbacks that year, there were Joe Flacco, you had Chad Henne, Brian Brohm were some of the earliest quarterbacks that did go. Matt obviously started it all. How did you guys zero in on that? Because, you know, that's not the deepest draft class ever. And this year, right, it's not considered to be one of the strongest draft classes ever for quarterbacks. Well,
that's exactly right. I think we really honed in on Matt thinking that he had the full package. He wasn't great at any one thing, but he was very, very competitive, very smart. He was very accurate in many ways, right? It wasn't about having a big gun. It was just the full package. And then when we started interviewing with him, we started realizing that he had this element to him that was pretty darn confident in a lot of ways, and we wanted to lead in. We knew that the only way we were going to have a chance at this, myself and Mike Smith at the time, remember, neophyte head coach and GM, we better kick this off with the right quarterback or we have no chance to be around here in 3 years.
How much do you tell your family in this process? And the reason I ask it is last night, Joe Shane's son on Instagram posted a highlight reel of Jackson Dart, and he had to make his account private, and then everyone's saying, oh, what does the son know? And I don't know how, the kid's like 12 or 13, but what is dad telling him? Like, naturally, you have to tell your family something, right? But how protective are you maybe in that regard?
I think you have to be protective. I think, you know, you talk about it and you try to be, you know, especially remember when the, when was it? It was in 20, we were all at home. When did we draft from home?
All the 2020,
kids,
yeah.
All the kids were at home and they knew a lot more at that time. I mean, my son was literally picking up phone calls from Bill Belichick helping me run the draft during COVID. But you try to keep enough away from them, and I think it's important. But in today's social world, obviously, it becomes complicated. No question about it.
All right, we'll talk more about Sumer Sports. We'll have you stay around here for one more segment. I got much more left to do in the draft, but we got to squeeze a break in here. Thomas Dimitroff, former NFL general manager, now with Sumer Sports, here with us in studio on the Zach Gelb Show on draft day. Let's get the latest update in. Here's Zach. All right, the NFL Draft Day. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. But don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Thomas Dimitroff, the former NFL general manager, in studio with us. Now does a great job with Sumer Sports. We'll hear more about that in just a second. And Thomas, kind enough to hang out with us for a second segment on Draft Day. So the leaking of information to maybe slander a prospect is always something fascinating to me because I've had people tell me, the media makes more of a big deal and you never know where it's coming from. But, you know, Tom Pelissero had this article that one longtime NFL assistant coach said when interacting with Shedeur Sanders in this process, the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good. So that was the quote. Now, it could be true, according to this anonymous NFL assistant, longtime coach, or could it be a team that is maybe trying to put something out there so they could go get a Shedeur Sanders? Like, do we make too much of that stuff? What's the truth of the leaking stuff to the media game?
No, I think the leaking happens, and I think there's always some gamesmanship, right? And the people that are in the middle of that first round are thinking, oh, my God, if we could ever have an opportunity to make a decision, that would be great. At least he gets out of the top 10. I think it happens. Look, all of the stuff you're hearing about Shedeur, or some of the big ones, you know, over the years, and you know, look, how many times we've heard, you know, Warren Sapp talk about it when all that went down with him, and people drop, you know, Aaron Rodgers, people drop for a reason. They all end up, to me, for the most part, I'm talking the really good ones, they all come out. In the end, everything works out. Even if it's 10 picks later, it doesn't necessarily help the whole situation. You listen to it, but everyone has opinions, right? There are some strong opinions. All of this stuff on Shedeur Sanders right now, I just think I'm a big believer whoever brings him on is going to have to be a strong, stout organization with a strong head coach and general manager and ownership who are going to be able to deal with the strength of Shedeur and Co., right? That's just the way it is. So I think what happens, I said this the other day, this is not your grandfather's pick. And I say that so much tongue-in-cheek, of course, but back in the day, that was a big thing. You hire or pick a quarterback. That person has to be great in so many areas, and they can't agitate people in other areas. You know, when we picked Julio Jones way back, I said this before, Nick Saban told me he was unaffected. I think Shedeur Sanders has an unaffected side to him that can be really beneficial for certain programs or organizations. Other ones struggle with it just because it's not their makeup.
I kind of hope that he goes 21 to the Steelers. And I think it's a good landing spot for him. Mike Tomlin, strong organization. You got DK Metcalf there, maybe still George Pickens, but also the Aaron Rodgers dynamic is interesting because they're interested in Aaron Rodgers. Aaron hasn't given them an answer. And I would tend to think that would close the door on Aaron Rodgers. They draft Shedeur tonight at 21.
I would think they would. I would love to see him go there too. I just think it would be the ideal situation. And to your point, Mike Tomlin, the way he is, his intelligence, his directness, and he would, he's probably the guy that could, you know, talk to Deion if there's ever an issue. Hey, here's where we are and here's what we need to do. I think it's a great opportunity for Pittsburgh to take it to another level.
Do you think there's some head coaches that may just be leery of drafting Shedeur or wanting their GM to draft Shedeur because they could say, oh, the moment things don't go the right way, and let's be real, usually when you're taking a quarterback in the first round, you don't have a great team. I know the Steelers are a good team, so it doesn't apply to them, and Tomlin has a lot of security, but you know if you were the Browns or the Giants or the Raiders or the Saints, even if you trade back up to get him, the moment your team has a few weeks where they don't play well, people will start to speculate, hey, get this coach out and let's bring Coach Prime from Colorado to the NFL.
Wow, that's one of the things I'm sure the fan base would be swirling on, of course. But, you know, again, I think as an ownership group, you have to know what you're going into when you're acquiring someone, you know, like Shedeur. Again, at many levels, he has a lot of talented elements to him. I mean, let's be honest. I know you just read a quote there. There are other people that are really scrutinizing over certain things, and he's not everything for sure, mm-hmm. but we've already said that, right? This quarterback group is not everything as it is, right?
Yeah.
There are gaps in the entire group of quarterbacks, and it wasn't like last year's quarterbacks, and that's part of it. Now, I think it's up to now the ownership, more the general manager and the head coach, to put the right team around these guys to help them develop, and that's part of their job as well, not just picking the quarterback.
Does it matter to you when you get into the whole, when do you take a quarterback? Like there's some people that will say, oh, I have to build the team first before I take that quarterback. Or, hey, if the quarterback is supposed to be everything, we'll take the quarterback and then figure out everything else. Is there a right answer to that conversation?
I think it's circumstantial. And I think, you know, where I had it when we first got into Atlanta back in 2008 was coming off the Michael Vick debacle. There was nothing more than we needed was for a quarterback to come in, step his feet on the ground and start growing with us. I can see other times when you're an organization that's in the middle, and if you, you know, as a GM and a head coach, you might be just a little bit hot seat, but not really, that you've been kind of given the assurance that you have two or three more years or two more years, then it's not as, you're not as angst-ridden to do it. But I swear to God, I continue to think you can't sit on your hands in this league. We all know it's not for long, more so than ever now. The money that's being thrown around for the coaches and the GMs, they're expected to get things done right now. You better bring a quarterback in, and you better have a great plan, and you better surround them with the right supporting cast. And I say this all the time. We were arguing about it a little bit earlier. Is it the coach or is it the quarterback? I'd like to say it's both. That's my fence-sitting deal. But, I mean, you have to have both of those on the ball.
Well, I think I'm the perfect person to ask because I grew up as a Patriot fan, and that's the conversation I despise the most. Was it more Brady? Was it more Belichick? And I say this all the time. I love Bill Belichick, and I feel terrible when I say this, but if I had to pick one or the other, I would slightly take Tom over Bill. And, you know, I still think Bill gets a bad rap for what happened the last few years because Bill the GM was no longer a great GM. Bill the coach was still good because they had a bottom five roster, and they made the playoffs with Mac Jones. So to me, getting the quarterback is more important than necessarily the coach.
Well, you know, it's funny because we can go round and round about that, and I have a great deal of respect for both of
sure.
them. And I do believe that they both got to where they got to because they had
together.
Each other. And I know it went awry later on. I get it. There were waves of everything that you're talking about. I look back on our situation in Atlanta, and, you know, we did move on from another coach, you know, from Mike Smith, who three-time coach of the year in 3 years or 5 years. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in Dan Quinn, does a great job for us, get to the Super Bowl. We don't win the Super Bowl. And Matt Ryan continued to stay, right? So the quarterbacks do stay in an organization. But if you don't have a coach that is sound on the ground and understands his world and can lead properly.
Could derail your team.
Oh, you can derail a team, no question. And quite
look
honestly,
at Chicago last year.
That's exactly right. And then those quarterbacks who might be great, they just want to get out, right? Mm-hmm. Which is another thing which can play on their mind, of course.
Talking about a guy that's had a lot of coaches the last few years, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. This to me, Thomas Dimitroff, is fascinating. And I love Ashton Jeanty. I've been on the Ashton Jeanty train since the summer. I thought, okay, when the draft order came out, maybe he goes 12 to the Cowboys. And I said, oh, maybe he goes 10 to the Bears. And the last few weeks, everyone's been Raiders, 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 Raiders in at 6. And then the last 24 to 48 hours, it's been, oh, no, the Jaguars are going to get him with the 5th overall pick. What would your reaction be tonight if Ashton Jeanty is the 5th overall pick to the Jaguars?
Although I think you can find great running backs later in the round and even in the second, third, we've seen it over the years. He is such a special pick. He's kind of like, in my mind, you know, the Bijan Robinson thing. I wasn't overly, not to be overly critical of my former team, but, you know, to take a running back like that, you're not thinking about 2 and 3 and 4 contracts, right? You're thinking about the here and now. I am thinking about that for a quarterback like they have in Jacksonville to have a situation that, like this with Lawrence, to have a legitimate runner like this to take the pressure off. I've experienced it. We didn't obviously do that with Michael Turner, but we had Michael Turner in there. We didn't draft Michael Turner is what I'm saying. Michael took so much pressure off of Matt Ryan back in 2008. Again, I'm being retro here talking about that, but it's pretty amazing. When you have a stud in there that is multifaceted, run and pass game, and can run over people, and he's so consistent, I would not be surprised. Maybe last year it was tough for us to talk about that, right? But we see what happens. We've seen what happened. We saw what happened in Philly with a running back that came from New York, and it obviously did unbelievable things. So I am for that move. I think there are other people out there and other players out there that can really help Jacksonville in my mind, but I wouldn't poo-poo that idea, so to speak.
And I said this to Ashton Jeanty. I remember talking to him in September, and I go, there's three running backs that I see in your game. I go, who are some that you modeled him afterwards? And he hit 2 out of the 3. It was Alvin Kamara. It was Marshawn Lynch. And I said, I see a little Derrick Henry, just how impossible you are to tackle. If you told me you could get a Marshawn Lynch or a Derrick Henry in this draft, I'm all good taking him with the 5th overall pick.
Yeah, and I think then being creative on the backside again, potentially moving up, as we've talked about some of those earlier picks in the second round, to be able to combine that. I think he's top-notch.
If you're drafting Travis Hunter, how do you envision him playing in the NFL?
I think he can play both, no question about it. I would play him at corner, quite honestly, because I would love him in my defensive room most of the time, learning the process, learning what we're working on, and then spot him over on the receiver side, you know, have him run some routes. I would need him in that room to be defense. Dearth of corners, bigger picture in my mind. And I think it's a lot easier to do that than play him as a receiver and put him over at corner every once in a while.
Arm length, how big of a deal is this with this Will Campbell stuff and the short arms?
Look, Will Campbell, obviously, he's a really talented player. Love his energy, everything he does. I love the fact that he can play both tackle and guard, although I think ideally he might be a better guard, although the Patriots don't want to hear that right at that high of a pick. I mean, he's aggressive. What I've always said, and we did this with another player before, his name was Sam Baker, and he had 32.5-inch arms. If you have a guy like that, you better make sure that they've known that they've had short arms for a while, and Will has, and they know how to deal with it, right? They're fast, they're creative, they're explosive with their hands. They're making up for that little bit of a half an inch with their adeptness of the use of their hands, which is really, really important. He can play, and I think he's going to be a really good football player.
All these years doing this, looking back at it, was there one story, whether it was something going on in your war room or something that was going on elsewhere in another war room or just anywhere in the draft, that's the one story that you always remember that you're like, I just can't believe what I ended up just seeing when you were sitting there with taking it all in?
No, look, there are so many of those. They all just blend together in so many ways. And people often say, you know, what was the biggest mistake you've made? And it wasn't necessarily, usually it's not the one that you did pick, although that can happen. For me, it was the one that you didn't. And I remember we sat there, and it was in my second year. We took Parade Jerry. He was an interior D lineman from Mississippi. Great athlete, got hurt, just fizzled out for us. But we passed up a guy who, in our room, we all talked about it, was Clay Matthews. And I forever kicked myself in the butt on that because, really, and you look at it right now, the Falcons have never really had a pass rush in how long, right? Mm-hmm. Through our time there, even over the last 4 years, it's unbelievable. They need to get someone. If we're going down that line, I hope that they do pull a pass rusher this year.
I'll tell you, the one that I still can't believe was the Laremy Tunsil gas mask story, because that guy was supposed to go all the way at the top of the draft and then just fell outside of the top 10, I think to like 12 or 13 or something like that, to the Dolphins.
There are those kind of things that are crazy. And you remember the Arkansas kid who passed away, was it the day after he got drafted, the offensive tackle, Bullworth. It was a really sad story. So there are all kinds of crazy stories over the years, for sure. And we do call sometimes. When we call, we're calling to make sure, you know, respectfully, that they're alive.
Wow, really?
Yes. That is one of the reasons that we call, to get them on the phone. Everything good? You have two legs, respectfully, of course, and you know you're still living. It's kind of sounds a little funny, but you don't want to draft someone.
I never thought of it that way.
You don't want to draft someone and they're deceased, of course.
Yeah. Before we let you run, Sumer Sports, we got about a minute before we have to get them out of here. Tell us everything that's cooking.
Yeah, so Sumer Sports, SumerSports.com. We're rolling. We're heavily into the NCAA now, along with our NFL product, but we're just doing more and more great roster building, roster management. We have more and more offerings coming every day. We're adding more and more advanced analytics along the way, honestly, with our entire group of data scientists and analysts. We have five former general managers, so we have a subjective side, I've told you this before, who are really working well with all of our really highly intelligent people. And I love where we're going. We just keep moving forward.
Well, unbelievable stuff. Once again, make sure you check it out, Sumer Sports. And they're going to have a live draft show tonight, I believe, on YouTube for all the first-round coverage. Is that right?
We do. We'll be covering them all. It'll be great.
We'll have to tune in. We'll have to check it out. Appreciate you coming on in, Thomas Dimitroff.
Always. I appreciate you.
All righty. We will take a time out. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Great stuff there. Two segments with Thomas Dimitroff. Coming up next in studio, he hosts the morning show right here on the network, Maggie and Perloff. Andrew Perloff will join us in studio next. Coming on back in 5 minutes with more NFL draft talk, as the first round is right here upon us.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.